The headlines at this hour, 118 countries support Iran's nuclear program amid U.S. threats of sanctions. Israel insists it will not allow an international investigation into the Gaza aid massacre. In Pakistan, trucks taking supplies to NATO troops in Afghanistan are set on fire. And the U.S. Treasury Department says America will plunge further into debt. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the news here on Press TV. I'm Hassan Tavakoli in Tehran. Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is calling the new sanctions on Iran being discussed in the U.N. Security Council the most significant ever. Clinton made the remarks during her visit to Ecuador. She said the fourth round of sanctions on Tehran being discussed in the Security Council will be the toughest so far. The 15-member body is due to vote on the punitive measures on Wednesday. Non-permanent members, Turkey, Brazil and Lebanon, are not expected to support the move. Clinton didn't comment on whether two or three no votes will amount to a failure for the U.S.-sponsored sanctions. Tehran says it backs diplomacy while it does not fear fresh sanctions. Well, the 118 member states of the Non-Aligned Movement, or NAM, have once again voiced support for Iran's right to the peaceful use of nuclear energy. NAM has sent a letter to the head of the IAEA, underscoring its support for Iran's nuclear energy program. The organization says all nations, including Iran, have an inalienable right to the peaceful use of atomic energy. NAM also voiced its support for the nuclear swap declaration by Iran, Turkey and Brazil. The body says diplomacy is the only way to resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear program. To discuss this more, we're joined by Professor Nader Bagherzadeh. He's a professor at UC Irvine. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Bagherzadeh, 118 member states of the NAM, the non-aligned movement that is, have supported Iran's nuclear program at a time when the United States is pushing for further sanctions. Now, many says this questions the universality of the U.S.-sponsored sanctions. What do you make of this?
So this also indicates that this notion of isolating Iran is really not correct. It's just the United States with a bunch of Western countries that are pushing for these sanctions, and these 180 countries are part of this planet. So still continuing to say that it's isolating Iran is not probably correct. My other problem with this sanction is that as they say in the U.S. press, it's a precursor to having a negotiation deal with Iran. It's a flawed argument. It's not going to work because the sanctions are pushing Iran to the point to react to these illegal sanctions. So overall, it's a bankrupt policy, continuation of Bush's policy, and it's probably going to fail, and it's not going to have any room for negotiation for Iran and U.S. for those important issues regarding to nuclear activities. And it's very sad that they're pushing for this. Unfortunately,
well, how is the United States? Yes, how is the United States going to explain the growing support for Iran's nuclear program by a vast majority of the international community?
That's the irony of the whole thing. They never mention the NAM with 100-plus countries are against this set of sanctions or support Iran's nuclear fuel cycle peaceful activities. So they don't mention about NAMs in their discussions. And unfortunately, NAM representation in the 15-member UNSC is not enough. You mentioned three countries that may vote no against this sanction. But that's not enough. It's not enough majority to stop this. And it's one of the problems with the UNSC is that the way it's set up, NAM representation is very minimal, and those five countries have veto power. It's really not a Security Council that would look at the benefits and interests of all the countries. It's really a bullying factor, and it's really not working properly.
All right. We'll leave it there. Many thanks there to Professor Nader Bagherzadeh from Irvine. Well, now, Iran's foreign ministry has summoned the Swiss ambassador over the abduction of an Iranian university lecturer by U.S. and Saudi agents back in 2009. The Swiss embassy is in charge of the U.S. interest sections in Iran. Earlier, foreign ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast reiterated that Tehran will use all legal and political channels to secure Shahram Amiri's release. Mehman Paras says the abduction of Amiri in Saudi Arabia is a violation of international law. Amiri said in a video message on Monday that he had been put through intense torture and psychological pressure during his detention in the US. He pointed out that his abduction was aimed at putting political pressure on the Iranian government. Washington has so far made no comments on the status of the Iranian lecturer. Meanwhile, a second video has surfaced of Amiri contradicting his previous message. The authenticity of the new footage, however, could not be verified, but the timing of its release has raised questions whether this video was made under normal circumstances. Well, earlier we had Qanbar Nadiri, a journalist with the newspaper Iran Daily, comment on the two footages released from Shahram Amiri.
Everything has been staged for him in advance, and clearly he's in a controlled environment to make such a comment. The first one is genuine because in the first one he clearly talks to the camera. He makes mistakes when he's talking. He makes pauses. He keeps blinking. He's talking in a very natural environment.
Now, a member of a terrorist group operating against Iran has claimed that a Persian-speaking radio station funded by the U.S. State Department originally put him in touch with the group. This is part of a confession made by Ali Mutlaq during an exclusive interview with Press TV.
سایت‌های مختلفی رو چک کردم، بودم تو اینترنت بودم. از اونجا بود که با رادیو فردا آشنا شدم. ایمیلی براشون ارسال کردم و اعلام کردم که حاضرم در جهت مبارزه با نظام یه سری فعالیت ها کنم. همین ایمیل باعث شد که بعدها شماره تلفن هایی از طرف آقای خاکزاد به من داده بشه، ارتباطاتی برقرار کنم و آشنایی مختصری صورت گرفت. چون از من خواست که کارهایی از قبیل طراحی وبلاگ و با وبلاگ نویسی و کار تو فضای اینترنت با نظام مبارزه کنم.
Well, Mutlaq, who has been arrested in Iran, is charged with planting bombs and planning assassinations of top Iranian figures. Tondar, or the Kingdom Assembly of Iran, has already claimed responsibility for several deadly terrorist attacks across the country in the past 5 years. A 2008 bomb attack in the southern city of Shiraz was one of the deadliest operations by the group. Well, Press TV has tried to contact the State Department regarding Mutlaq's confessions. We have as yet to receive a response regarding those accusations. Well, now, Israel continues to defy international calls for an international investigation into its attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla. Tel Aviv insists it will carry out its own internal investigations into the attack, which claimed the lives of at least 9 people. Well, world bodies are calling for an independent and impartial inquiry. The U.S. has also backed calls for an international probe. The State Department says international participation will be important for the credibility of the investigation. Earlier, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon also insisted that Israel's probe must have credible international involvement. Meanwhile, Russia says it will raise the question of who should be investigating the attack at the UN. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin also denounced the Israeli assault as a crude violation of international law. Gunmen in Pakistan have attacked 15 trucks carrying supplies for NATO troops in neighboring Afghanistan. At least 3 people have been killed in the attack that took place in Rawalpindi near the Pakistani capital Islamabad. Police officials told Press TV that NATO supply trailers, containers and fuel tankers caught fire when gunmen attacked the convoy. Well, now, reports say that former Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf is set to return to politics. Reports say his party has launched a formal public recruitment campaign. A spokesman for the newly formed All Pakistan Muslim League says the move is meant to pave the way for Musharraf's return back home. The former army general seized power in 1999 and ruled until stepping down as president in 2008. He left Pakistan about a year ago and now spends most of his time in Britain and the United States. Musharraf has raised the possibility that he might run for office again over the past year. Well, there's more bad news for the American economy. The U.S. Treasury Department says the country's debt will top $13 trillion this year. It has released a report to Congress which also predicts that the figure will jump to just below $20 trillion in 5 years. The Treasury Department says the ratio of debt to GDP will rise from the current 93% to 102% by 2015. U.S. debt has grown rapidly due to the economic downturn, the Wall Street bailout, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the economic stimulus measures have badly hit Washington's finances. To discuss this more, we're joined by Professor Paul Sheldon Foote. He's a professor at California State University, joining us on the phone from Irvine. Welcome to the program, sir. What does the debt increase mean for the U.S. economy?
It means that we face a long period of trying to recover. We already have problems of the fallout from the European financial problems. On top of what you already mentioned, endless wars that the American public still have not stopped, bailouts of banks, stimulus plans where if the money had been given to individuals instead of wherever it went, who knows where it went. It's just an outrageous waste of money by irresponsible political leaders.
Now, how would the debt crisis affect America's political status in the world?
That's interesting because you have some countries in the world saying we're not going to pay our debts to Western investors, and here we are, we are the debtors. I am old enough to remember when we were a creditor nation, but now we are the ones begging for money and irresponsible and can't live within our means. It's terrible. It means the loss of American leadership.
All right, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to Professor Paul Sheldon Foote from Irvine. Well, now, 50 days have passed since an explosion ripped through the oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, triggering the worst man-made disaster in U.S. history. Millions of gallons of crude have been spewing into the ocean every day, and experts say attempts to stop the leak are actually making things worse. Experts say BP's latest efforts to capture oil have actually boosted the amount of crude pouring into the water. Experts estimate that as much as 100,000 barrels of oil is now gushing into the Gulf every day. BP is meanwhile saying that it's capturing about a tenth of that. This comes as the UK oil giant's next major attempt to stop the leak is weeks away. The failure to handle the disaster has triggered a public outcry against the US government as well as BP. You're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. 118 countries support Iran's nuclear program amid U.S. threats of sanctions. Israel insists it will not allow an international probe into the Gaza raid massacre. In Pakistan, trucks taking supplies to NATO troops in Afghanistan are set on fire. And the U.S. Treasury Department says America will plunge further into debt.